everybody, another edition of Fantasy Baseball Elite. I am your host, Jeff Manns. Find me at fantasyguru.com, guruelite.com, at Jeff_Manns on Twitter, the Jeff Manns, and other social media outlets. But the star of the show, as we all know, it's Ray Flowers at Baseball Guys on Twitter. I don't even know what other dating sites he may be have accounts, but I don't want to know. What's up, Ray?
You know, isn't Bumble a dating site? It is, right?
Bumble? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because I saw a commercial over the weekend that I was trying to figure out. It was like it had like a 11-year-old girl on it or something. It was very weird.
Okay, this has gotten
too Yeah, weird. It was very weird. It was talking about female empowerment and stuff, and I was very confused. I was watching it with my girlfriend at the time, and both of us looked at each other and went, huh? So neither one of us quite figured that out, Joe.
I don't know what, like, Southeast Asian television network you were watching there, but I don't want to know either. No, folks, we won't talk dating advice, although who knows? Yeah. We have some interesting questions already, Ray, that we tweeted out, topics that people want us to answer that are not fantasy baseball related. We'll get to that later in the show. Otherwise, it's all fantasy baseball all the time, and that's what it's like over at fantasyguru.com because got our 2019 fantasy baseball draft guide available. Ray Flowers, pretty much the emperor, the czar of that. Vlad Sedler contributing at a high level as well. Me and Ted kind of like the stepchildren. Every now and then we'll pipe up and do some things. But Ray, how's the draft guide coming along? Seems like pretty robust at this point.
Yeah, it's going really well. Very happy with where we're at. We've got contributions from everyone. We're continuing to get contributions from the rest of the staff, continually adding. We've kind of gotten into the phase where the majority of like the standard pieces are pretty much done. And we're going a lot now into the battle of the experts between Vlad Sedler and myself, each of us taking one side on a player. The player profile series is really starting to crank up too, where I go in depth and, you know, do 1,500 words on this guy or that. We're obviously adding podcasts such as this for free to try to entice people to give us a look there. But I think we're in a good spot, Jeff. Got a lot of things coming down the chute. Got the rankings all updated. Good to go there as well. And pretty happy with the product thus far at Fantasy Guru.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I've been reading the Battle of the Experts a lot. I got enthralled the other day with them, like over the weekend. And I got to say, man, it's really – really well done. You both have great cases for some really polarizing players. Max Muncy, Matt Olson, Miguel Cabrera, some players that I thought, all right, like I have a definitive thought on this. And then it's like, all right, well, you know, Vlad's got a point here. Well, Ray's got a point here. Like, you know, they're really well done. And what I like most and what I appreciate the most about you guys doing that is that they are really poignant arguments for each side. And that, you know, it's this day and age in fantasy sports. Like anytime you have an argument, it's got to be like now all of a sudden everybody hates each other. You can't have God forbid somebody have a different opinion than you because that means it's mean or mean spirited. And I like this player and you don't. Let's fight. It's ridiculous. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's nonsensical. But I like these Battle of the Experts ones as well. Also, Strategy Podcast is about 12 to 15 of these up already there behind the paywall. And just a reminder to everybody about the Fantasy Guru Draft Guide. It's a full-season product, but it's one price. We had some people over the weekend like, well, $35 a month is kind of expensive. Like, no, dude, one price for the whole year.
If it was $35 a month, I'd be going to Hawaii like you, Jeff.
Oh, that's true. You're not going to hear from me for a week, ladies and gentlemen.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, well, people probably love that aspect of it, but I will be in Hawaii, and I'll be getting laid.
That's what they say. Good luck on that, Jeff.
Nobody's ever made that joke before in the history.
No, never. It's $35 for the regular package. It's $50 for the VIP package. There are two options.
Yeah.
So you can sign up for either one. The $50 VIP package is more of an interactive experience. You get to ask questions in a chat room. You don't have to worry about having a question missed on Twitter. You know, you can lay it out. We can have a back and forth discussion there. We'll have live streams and podcasts and other things when the season gets going as well. That's more of an all immersive everything look, but I just want to also add to what you said, Jeff, that I hear from a person today, literally, asking me where the draft guide is. And it's like, folks, you're missing the point. We're not selling a draft guide and a season-long package. We're selling a season-long package. We're calling it a draft guide because that's what everyone expects to see at this point of year.
Right.
But what we're selling you is a season of baseball coverage.
Yeah.
So
full season.
Season.
those of us who know our work from SiriusXM and Fantasy Sports Radio and all that stuff, like this, there's not going to be a lot on SiriusXM this year of fantasy baseball, and Ray Flowers is having a nuclear meltdown as a result. So we're just opening it up. We're just going to do all our stuff. We're going to have all our guys, Benny Ricciardi, Draft Sheet, myself, Vlad, Ted, Ray, of course. We're all just going to do coverage. We're going to shows, podcasts, all kinds of programming, articles, tools at the site. And you only have to pay that one price, $34.99 right now. So it's, and we're going to up the price. I want everybody to know that too, because don't tell me, oh, you up the price. That's what we do. We're not stupid. I'm not in business for 15 years in this because I'm an idiot. I know when March gets there and you're crunched and you need raised rankings, I'm just going to price it up. So get it now, even if you know you're going to do it. I'm telling you how to circumvent the system. Hopefully you take advantage of it. Let's get to some news and notes from around Major League Baseball, Ray. Pitchers and catchers reporting. How tight are your pants right now, Ray?
Well, I'm not wearing pants right now, Jeff.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, if I was, they'd be tight.
Yes, because pitchers and catchers are here. Mm-hmm. It is an exciting time of year. Everybody's got a chance except for the Miami Marlins, and sadly the Chicago White Sox probably don't have a chance. But listen to that. I want to talk – let's start out with a polarizing topic, and that's Kyler Murray and what happened here, him announcing the other day, Ray, that he's going to be dedicating his life to playing professional football. He is going to be a football player, and he's entering the NFL draft. I'm going to go through the combine and all that kind of stuff. Those of you who aren't familiar with the Kyler Murray story, let me just give you a refresher. He was a first-round pick. What was he, like 10th overall, 14th overall?
Ninth, I believe.
Ninth overall for the Oakland Athletics in June's amateur draft. And at that time, he outright declared he was a baseball player. He's going to play baseball. He's dedicating his life to baseball. Just do a Google search. Just he all over it, June, July. That's what he was doing. He was – the Oakland A's allowed him to play 1 year more of college football. He was the backup quarterback last year to Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma. He came in and played Oklahoma this year and played at an extraordinarily high level, won the Heisman Trophy, and is now pretty much said Fangul – to Billy Beane and the Oakland Athletics. And in the meantime, you know, basically crushed the A's first-round pick, because now he's going to be in the NFL draft. He's going to go full-time into football. I mean, I have a very strong opinion on this topic, Ray, but we'll let you get to it first. Your thoughts on what Kyler Murray has done here and, you know, sort of weighing the two against each other, football, baseball.
Yeah, I'll steal from you, because I actually agree with you one of those rare times, Jeff.
Yes. Won't be like this all the time.
No, not at all. He agreed to do something, and I heard you mention very poignantly and very accurately, whether it's him or his agent or his family, whatever it is, we'll put it on him because he's the guy. They made a decision as a group to sign a contract to give them safety, and we all understand that. I say it all the time. So you want $250 million, someone's giving you $200, just take it, right? We talked about that with Bryce Harper in a previous podcast. Just take the money, be happy. He made that decision. Good, fine. Take the millions of dollars, you're in good place. He then went out and had a great, you know, run at the end and won the Heisman Trophy and then flip-flopped and changed his opinion. The problem with that is the A's wouldn't have drafted him in the first round if they thought he was going to do this. So yeah. Scott Boras and Murray made the decision to use the A's without caring one bit about the A's, without caring one bit about what they were saying, without holding to their word, which should be their bond. And he went out and had that great season, so now he's going to make more money and be more excited playing football. So basically he lied. His representation lied, or at the very least completely deceived.
Misled.
Mm-hmm. And as you noted, if Murray had gone out in the championship game and blown his knee out, in essence ending his NFL career because he wouldn't be able to play for 2-3 years, he would have gone and played for the A's and taken their money. And I've heard a lot of people say, and I know that you got a lot of pushback when you talked about this initially. I heard a lot of people say, well, you would do that too. You know, you're just trying to get the best deal. I have never lied to someone's face to make more money. I know you've never lied to someone's face to make more money. There are ways to do it. There are professional, legitimate, above board ways to do it. And Murray and his representation apparently didn't choose to go that direction, Jeff.
A popular question, you and I, just to that point that you ended up there with, Ray. People ask you and I all the time, how do you know, we have a very fun job to a lot of people. People look at, oh my God, you do fantasy sports for a living? Like, good Lord, you're living the dream, all this stuff. How did you get there? How did you start out? What did you do? Well, guess what? I will vouch for Ray Flowers because I've known you better part of a decade now. I've been around 15 years in the industry. You know one way that I have been able to rise myself? Not lying to somebody's face.
Yeah.
Not lying to somebody's face and taking more money. That's just one way. I have taken less money. I've been lied to. I've been cheated out of money. I've been cheated out of ownership of companies. I've been cheated out of a lot of things. I didn't do it, but I've held myself, my head up high. I've kept plugging along and gotten to the point that I'm at now, which I'm happy with in my career and everything. I'll never stop seeking and climbing, but you don't have to do it that way. And I'll just say this. For all of you who want to defend Kyler Murray, here's what I suggested. How about this? What if we put this in a different context? And I talk about your girlfriend, wife, husband or boyfriend, whatever, you know, it is. Imagine them now. Okay. We are married. We're, you know, honeymoon. We just got back from honeymoon. It's great. Oh, honey, I have to go. And if it's your wife or girlfriend, or say it's your wife, I have to go to Aruba with Fernando, this crazy ripped, you know, six pack ab Latin God, 26 year old hunk of a man. And I have to go there and do yoga classes for 6 months.
This isn't a personal story, is it, Jeff?
It may or may not be.
Okay.
I will not admit or deny. Imagine that. And you're going to say, okay, hon, well, you're coming back, though. We're going to be married and have fun. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, not one part of you thinks, all right, well, wait, this may not go the way I hope. This may go in a different direction. Would you really trust this scenario? And that's why I went after Billy Beane, because what do you think's going to happen? Why do you need to leave? Why do you need to play football? You're a first-round pick. If Billy Beane and the Oakland A's did Kyler Murray a solid, okay, cool, but you knew, and most importantly, Kyler Murray and Scott Boras knew that what is the purpose? There's three outcomes in this whole scenario. Either Kyler Murray was going to get injured and come back, in which case the Oakland A's get screwed over, right? They get, you know, he gets tears his ACL or Achilles or has, you know, a head injury or whatever it is, gets hurt. Okay, that's terrible. He has a mediocre season. They don't win much or whatever. And then, you know, nobody's interested in his football services and he comes back and plays for the Oakland A's. Okay, that's one. That's the best case scenario. Or he balls the hell out, wins a Heisman Trophy, which, oops, he did. And he says, you know what? I now have the power, and I don't want baseball anymore because now I can make more being a first-round draft pick in the National Football League. You knew two of the three. You have 66% outcome here of bad for you. Why would you allow him to do it? And Murray knew it. Boras knew it. All this bull crap. Like, your wife could say, oh, no, we're just yoga class. We're just friends. We're just friends. Bull crap. 6 months in Aruba, and, you know, everybody has needs. Things are going to happen that you don't want to happen. And she knows that when she leaves. Just like if you're, you know, the man, the same thing. You're going out, oh, me and the hot nanny, you know, me and Tiger Woods' ex-wife, whatever her name was. You know, we're just going to go out and hang out in Aruba for 6 months too, and she's going to teach me basket weave. Really? Like, really? Ladies, you really? You could trust your husbands and boyfriends to do that? No! You know they're going there for a different reason. You know there's ulterior motives. You know that. It's unspoken, maybe, but you know there's bad things that only bad things that can happen, and it happened. And Kyler Murray lied, and Scott Boras lied. They misled.
The A's, up to an hour before the announcement that Murray made, still thought he was playing for them.
Yes.
He didn't even tell them before making the announcement, and in the announcement that he put on Twitter, didn't even mention the A's either.
They're just an idiot. I mean, the A's are just idiotic. And I hope everybody understands that Billy Beane's a moron. Like, he is a certifiable moron. Like, and it is documented. Anybody, you can Moneyball. I will blow your mind, Moneyball. Because trade Carlos Pena for Scott Hatteberg and say, oh, that's an on-base percentage move. No, it's not. You gave up tons of power, tons of defense, and tons of on-base percentage. That's not a Moneyball move, but that's what he did. And it worked for that half a season. The whole premise of Moneyball is – the premise is actually solid. The execution by Billy Beane was horrific, terrible. He went against Moneyball, and people still give him credit. It's amazing how much credit this guy gets for screwing up as often as he has. And he butchered this deal. Yes, Kyler Murray lied. Absolutely. But as a front office, the reason my question to everybody yesterday, the other day, Ray, is why do we have general managers? Like, I understand Kyler Murray lied and Scott Boras lied and they misled and all that. And granted, but somebody has to be responsible. How is Billy Beane not on the hook here too? I do not like Kyler Murray. I do not respect what he did. But how is Billy Beane getting away with this? We took him at his word. Well, that's idiotic. I'm sorry, but it is idiotic. As much as somebody wants to take it at your word, you still have to protect the franchise. You still have to protect the organization. And most importantly, Ray Flowers, something I talk about all the time, the fans. The fans ultimately are the people that pay the price. We pay the freight for all these salaries. The fact that Oakland A ticket season ticket holders are going to pay like some of their season ticket money already is in the pocket of Kyler Murray should make every single one of them sick to their stomach.
Yeah, I mean, look, the A's have to take risks because of the financial scenario they're in, okay? And this is a calculated risk that didn't work. You know, they as you said, there's no one in that organization that knew when they made that pick that there wasn't a risk. When the pick was announced, everyone kind of went, whoa. Like, everyone was surprised by this. But they knew. They took a chance. It didn't work out. I'm not as concerned with where the A's are at now because they went into this knowing, like you said, that there was, you know, 2 in 3 chance that they weren't going to get Murray. They had to have known that. And they took the chance. I'm more concerned with Murray and Boras and the way that it played out. There's a right and a wrong way to do this. You get drafted. You go to say to the A's, hey, guys. I'm going to keep playing football, and quite honestly, you know what? If it goes well, I'm playing football. You tell him, right? You don't keep it secret. You don't keep it hidden. Again, when he made this announcement, an hour before the announcement, the A's still had no idea he was going to do this. He and Ray. Boras didn't even contact the A's.
Ray, how is that? How? I knew it. I knew it.
No, they didn't, but because – you know what I mean. They didn't say we're going to make an announcement this afternoon.
But that's why I think Billy Beane is –
I'm not arguing for Billy Beane. We went to on-base percentage in my home league before Moneyball was written. Yeah. 10 years before Moneyball was written, we were doing on-base percentage in my league. Okay? Yeah. I've told this story many times. So if anything, I was ahead of Billy Beane too. So I'm not, big whoop.
I played Stratomatic in the 90s, which was on-base percentage based as well. So
yeah. That's right. In the 90s, we were doing on-base percentage in my home league. So, but just this whole idea with Murray and I've said this in other areas, and it's a baseball podcast, but I want nothing to do with him in football. I'm not even talking about the skills on the field. The guy's not a leader. He's selfish. He's all about himself. That Dan Patrick interview where he looked a deer in the headlights, he couldn't answer simple, basic questions. There is no way in hell you can give that guy $20 million and say, leave my franchise. If someone does that, they're going to lose. So the NFL needs to be aware on the other side too, Jeff, because he signs his 4-year contract. He goes out and he doesn't get what he wants. Who's to say he wouldn't go play baseball right away? It's something to keep in mind on the other side too.
Do not touch him in fantasy football. Do not touch him. It is a 5'9" quarter. He's 5'9 3/8" or 5'9 5/8" whatever. He is under 5'10". He's not going to be – he's not – Russell Wilson's 5'11". Drew Brees is 5'10". Like, these guys are the freaks.
Doug Flutie you got to go back to Doug when the Flutie offensive linemen were 6'1".
And that's the high side. That's the best that's going to happen.
Yeah.
This is one of the worst decisions of all time for Kyler Murray. He's not going to be a successful quarterback. There is no way he's going to be. But I'm going to love to see him fail because of the same exact thing. You reap what you sow, and you treat people this way, it eventually catches up to you. We talked about it in our own career. If I would have lied and cheated and manipulated and stole my way all the way up the ladder, even if I got there right, I would have nothing but hundreds, if not thousands, of people at the bottom shaking that ladder, waiting for me to fall down, purposely trying. It's the same way. You conduct your life in a certain way, and maybe you do make it up. Maybe you're able to step on the skulls of people and just climb that corporate or whatever ladder you're hoping to climb. But you're going to leave a lot of people in your path that cannot wait for you to fall. I think Kyler Murray's in that stage as well. Some other news from around Major League Baseball. Ray, I don't know how many weeks we can keep going with this. I want to curse so bad, but I'm not going to.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bryce Harper, Manny Machado. What is happening? As of now, the latest is now the Yankees are back in sort of on Machado. The Giants, your San Francisco Giants, you alluded to a couple of weeks ago, are somewhat interested in Bryce Harper. They're supposedly trying to do a short-term deal with him, which I don't get. You have more money than God. Either pay the guy or don't. I don't understand that part of it. But, I mean, any truth to either of these rumors, Machado to the Yankees and or Bryce to San Francisco?
The Giants want to add Harper. He apparently loves it. We talked about it on a previous podcast. When he's out here in San Francisco, he's Instagramming everything, and it's beautiful and wonderful. You know, he's from Las Vegas, so it's closer to home. I think he might want to play for the Giants. Plus, he'd be the star of the organization, of course. He is likely to be presented a short-term deal. His representation has come out and said, we're not taking a short-term deal. So unless the Giants offer $250 million, they're not going to get him. And I have said all along, that's why I don't think the Giants are going to get him. I think that there was a chance maybe if everything fell apart around him that the Giants could swoop in and sign him to a three-year, $90 million contract or something like that. I don't think it's likely to happen. I don't know where he's going to end up. Phillies, I don't know, okay? The Machado thing, there's a report out there that he was offered $250 by the Yankees. It was refuted by John Heyman, who says it's not that much. I mean, we're at a Mexican standoff, as they call it, Jeff. You know, we got the two.
I did that in Tijuana once, man. Yeah, I didn't wake up for a week.
Well, you're still here, so I guess you won.
Yeah, but I was out for a while, yeah.
So that's really where we're at. Both these guys want $300 million, and the teams are saying no. And so we're getting to the point where players are starting to report, obviously, as you noted. This is – you got to get into camp. You know, sports is one, and we've seen this all over the sport, and I don't have a study to reference – but anecdotally, doesn't it seem like, Jeff, in whatever sport we're talking, when these guys hold out and hold out and hold out, they report late that there's an injury that pops up, there's a slow start, that something happens negatively. You got to get in there. You got to get comfortable. You got to learn your teammates. You got to find your rhythm. They got to start getting there. We shall see. There's going to be a strike. I fear it. Was it 2021 when the labor agreement runs out? There's going to be a strike. I'm convinced of it at this point because – the money's flowing in. It's not flowing to the players. And, you know, guys look, Justin Verlander's on Twitter every day yelling.
Yes.
You know, I mean.
I saw that the other day.
Yeah. The players, you know, the players say these guys are worth X amount. They're not getting paid it, and they're getting ticked off.
We need, that's why salary cap. You need a cap and a minimum. You need a minimum. You have to spend $100 million. You can spend up to $170 million. Like, that should be it. And then do your best. Sign your players. That should be what baseball is today. I cannot stomach the fact that teams, either they want to or not, they can go up to $200 million and others won't go up to 40. Like, it's just not real, and it really curbs the competition. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed. I hope they do it the right way, but my speculation is they won't. I don't know what's going on. As a White Sox fan, I'm very intrigued by Machado. It seems like the White Sox have the best offer and have the entire time. He's trying to use every other organization he can to drum up the price. It hasn't happened. I do strongly believe that a team will come and soup up Machado. I think Machado just doesn't want to be in Chicago, and it's not enough, and it's not the right scene. So somebody's going to come in and get him. Harper, I have no flipping clue. I thought him to the Phillies was a done deal last week as soon as Real Muto went. So I'm really confused on what Harper wants. There's so much speculation in Arizona that he wanted to go to Arizona because of how close it is to Vegas. They're not even in contention because they sold away their whole team this offseason. So I don't get that.
You know, if you're either one of these guys, what are they, 25, 26?
Yeah.
Like, I know you, again, someone says, here's $300 million, you're not going to turn it down. If someone says, we'll give you 5 years, $155 million, why wouldn't you take that? Why wouldn't you bet on yourself that at 31 you'd still be as good of a player and then, like, pull an A-Rod and then on your next contract get, you know, another 5 years for $225 million? Or have your contract written in a way that, you know, it's a 10-year contract, but the team has an out after three, you have an out after three. There has to be ways to work around this, Jeff, because, you know, teams have the money and they want to win. And I think everyone looks at Machado and Harper as difference makers. I think they're just having a problem with Harper sees, you know, $35 million for 10 years. Other teams are seeing $35 million for 5 years. You know, what's the balance in the middle there, Doug?
I had the argument about Kyler Murray, strangely enough, on Twitter with another fantasy analyst this past week. And we're talking about it. What would your kid do? Well, why? You talk about them betting on themselves. The fact of the matter is none of these are confident. None of these athletes are confident. They pretend. They pretend. They're just pretenders. LeBron James, like, dude, you're the NBA. Why do you need to form a super team? You know, because it's that easier. Like, if you're really – Michael Jordan wouldn't do this. Like, Michael Jordan, he got Dennis Rodman because they got a sweetheart deal on him. But that was it. Like, you're going to town. Michael Jordan would take – Matt. He wanted to go against Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas and every – he didn't want to partner with them. And that's the thing. Nowadays, all these guys, they don't want to bet on themselves because they're not sure of themselves. Because they it's that thing like Kyler Murray. They have their eye somewhere else. They want to get a $300 million deal. So Machado wants that $300 million so he can go get fat. You see it. He's no doubt. This guy's a 280-pound player. Or not a player, a person. He's going to be a big fat body before all is said and done. He can't wait for it. He just wants that security to never have to work again. And all these, that's all they do. People hold out for money. And the thing with Kyler Murray, somebody said, well, your son, if you told your son not to take the $14 million and to take the $4 million, and I told the guy who was arguing with me, I said, dude, you're rich either way. $4 million, 14, I get 14 is better than 4. I get it. But we live in this world where we're pretending $4 million is terrible. Right. We pretend that $175 million is terrible for Harper or Machado. Get the hell out of here. Hundreds, what can you buy with $250 million that you can't with $175? Like, really? I get an island? Like, is that? I mean, you just say, I want island money? Like, you're going to get a private jet. You're going to get, what else do you need? What is it? Find the team, the player, the situation that's best comfortable. Find your happiness. Take $170, $180 million, $200, $150, whatever it is, and get the money. What the hell is going on with the world? I just don't understand it. If you can't make $175 million last the rest of your life, you've got real flipping problems, dude.
You could burn money in a fireplace every night if you had that much money. You could burn money for heat.
Every night you could burn
it.
Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash, and it wouldn't even matter.
No,
it would never affect your bottom line. So nope. I don't get it either. We'll move on with that. Ray, you and I had a big argument/discussion. Imagine that we argued. We're still friends and we argued. I didn't know that was possible in fantasy sports, but we talked about changes to fantasy baseball. And those of you who are listening to Fantasy Baseball Elite, you're probably diehard fantasy baseball people or baseball people. Maybe some of you are football folks or SiriusXM folks or however you found us. For one, we appreciate it. And hopefully you subscribe to the podcast and leave us some feedback, because whether it's good or bad, you can say, okay, can you just kick man's off? Whatever it is, like, say weird into it, right? Just say whatever you got to say, because we want to know. But there's no doubt that fantasy baseball is a slowing sport and a slowing game. For whatever reason, the game of seasonal fantasy baseball has been slowing over the years, to the point that websites, stat developers, media companies, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, are literally telling us, all right, can't talk fantasy baseball. Can't talk. It's a nightmare. Nobody's listening. Nobody cares, yada, yada, yada. And then we look at the podcast numbers and we're like, well, it's a lot of people that care. And we look at the articles and we look at the guide sales. Like, a lot of people care and want this stuff. So there need to be changes, Ray Flowers. So if you can go over some of the changes you we're thinking need to happen for fantasy baseball. Give us one or two main changes that you think will help grow the sport, if you will.
I think that ultimately, and we've had a lot of back and forth about this, and I could talk about removing a second catcher, you know, innings limits, I mean, blah, 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 but let's pull back and be a little broader with this.
Yeah.
We have to design the game, because I do agree with your sentiment. We have to design a game that works for people. I might think, you know, having 30 roster spots is fantastic. Everyone else might think 20 is great. I might think changing my lineup once a week is great. Everyone else might think changing your lineup every day is great. We've all got to decide kind of what the general position is. And in fantasy sports, that's very difficult, because there's 58 different scoring setups here. There's 172 different ones over here. There's 512 over here. You use $260, $300, $400. Like, there's all these differences. We have to decide what people want. And what people want, based upon what I'm hearing, and I think what you're hearing, Jeff, is the way the system now is set up is okay, but it could be better. So how do we make it better? We have talked about, on various platforms and in various discussions, having instead of playing 162 games and having a 6 month season, playing monthly setups. So once a month you do a draft, you play for the month, you know, and you move on and you add up all the points at the end and you win. We have a 4 month or 5 month regular season doing that. And then the final month is the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We've talked about doing half season leagues. So in essence, you play twice during the year. That way the people that want to start paying attention to football, once baseball hits the All-Star break, they can do that, but they can be fully focused on baseball in the first half of the season. So I think that's where we need to start, Jeff, is finding a setup that appeals more to people, because the majority of people that play fantasy sports, beyond the diehards that follow us at Fantasy Guru and Guru Elite, beyond a lot of those folks, people listening, they don't mind doing it daily. They don't mind grinding it out. They don't mind doing it for 6 months, but a lot of people don't like doing that. They play with their sister or their boss or their coworker, and they're just trying to make it, and they don't want to do it for 6 months. So I think the setup, Jeff, has to be done differently, and that's likely shrinking the system and the setup so that people don't feel like they've got to play 6 months, or if they're 3 months in and their team sucks, their season isn't over, that they can now do something different to get back in it.
I look at, and man, I agree with you wholeheartedly. A couple things. I really do feel that I could fix fantasy baseball.
Oh, maybe lay it out.
Maybe cocky or whatever. It's relatively easy. Here's the thing, and it's funny because you and I had a big argument on SiriusXM about, I think it started with like daily lineup or daily roster change or whatever. But here, I thought about it over the last couple of days. And it's the funny thing, for what you fight for, the way you like to play fantasy baseball, right, is the way that I want to play fantasy football. How many times have you told, or have I told you, Ray, and everybody out there listening, how much I want IDP?
Okay.
I want IDP so bad. It's like insane. I want into it. Why are we playing one side of the ball? Why are we doing this? I realized it like over the weekend. I'm like, you know what? I would love to do it, but you know what? I don't think people – there's a reason it hasn't caught on. Because IDP has been around since the 90s. Just nobody wants to do it. I'm like, you know what? That's probably why. Because people don't want to do – and with baseball, you love your AL only, NL only. These kind of – like got to get these guys, these random, you know, platoon players and stuff like that. And a lot of people out there, you know, our feedback says, I don't want to play with those guys. They want stars. Mm-hmm. The stars command things in all sports. NBA is the model of this, but at football, we've seen it. Antonio Brown wants his way out. Everybody loves Tom Brady, you know, and baseball, the same kind of thing. So what we need to do is shrink the rosters. We don't need middle infield, corner infield. We need stars at every position. We need a smaller player pool. We don't need to draft 25 plus rounds. We should be starting 9 guys. Maybe let's give it 10, have a couple man rotation, 3 starters for the week. Should be really easy. And it should be deep rosters. And, you know, we don't get in, we don't need to, you know, wear out and look at people's benches. And it should be mixed league, not AL only or NL only, because that's what people would like. We need head to head. Because people like to play again. They like to talk trash. They like to beat their boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, husband, friend, coworker, expert, fellow analyst, whatever it is. They like to beat those people. So it needs to be a head-to-head format. I think you could alter your leagues where you have head-to-head format that gives you wins and losses each week. And then you also run sort of a roto style where at the end, and by the way, all seasons end on August 31st, meaning the playoffs start probably August 1st, right after with the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Top 4 teams in a 12-team league, or maybe 5 or 6, whatever, you get a bye. Whatever playoff system you want starts at some point in August or the very last day of July, or starts in August, and you play to the end of August, and then it's done. And I think that's a nice, solid starting point. And we, you know, the categories we could use, we need to improve those categories. Batting average, ERA, wins. Come on, man. Saves. Oh, come on. Like some of those aren't good. Home runs, everybody loves. Everyone loves strikeouts. You know, go to the stats that people love. And whether it's 3x3 or 5x5, just use that. Use a nice, easy approach. If stars everywhere. And I think that's a version of fantasy baseball a lot of people can get behind. Every week they're talking trash. Every week they're setting their lineup. all that kind of stuff. I also think daily lineup moves is very, very important. You and I argued about daily roster moves.
Yeah. Can I clarify that?
Yes.
Please? Go ahead. Okay. Because I got 40 people
attacking
me on Twitter. It was crazy. Okay. Let me be extremely clear about this. I have not changed my opinion on this in 2 decades. Okay. So this is nothing new. If you'd followed my work or listened to me talk or write at any point, I don't know how you could have thought differently. I prefer, I like, I want daily lineup moves. Okay. Period. That's just the way it is. I agree completely with Jeff Manns on this. 100% agreement. I should be able to switch my guys in and out if they're on a home or road. I should be able to switch my guys in and out if it's a lefty-righty thing. I should be able to switch the guys out if it's a day-night, whatever it is. I should have the opportunity every single day to utilize my entire roster and start whoever I want. That is completely different than saying we should be running waivers every single day. I do not agree with that, okay? But somehow those two things got conflated, and I got attacked. I didn't know you didn't like daily. Why don't you like daily lineup change? What's wrong? You're living in 1902. Like, I don't understand how people miss that in the debate we had, Jeff.
Right.
I appreciate
two different arguments.
Two
lineup moves and roster moves.
Right. So just want to be clear. I don't like daily waivers. I love daily lineup changes.
And I agree with daily lineup changes 100%. The daily roster moves, which is funny, because I was stomping for that, I guess. And the only reason that I was really stomping for that is because most people, seems like 2/3 of the audience, wanted daily roster moves. Now, one thing I hate about fantasy baseball, back in the 90s and 2000s, I got turned off of fantasy baseball because of the pitcher streaming issue. It just became ridiculous, and it was first come, first serve. And at that time, you needed to be in front of your computer. So if you worked at a cubicle in an office, you were great. If you worked in a place where you're, you know, managing people and walking around like I was, you weren't able to get to your computer, and it was just a disaster. Nowadays, and then cell phones and apps and all this made it a lot easier. So I think that alleviates some of that pressure, and I'm okay with it. I don't like streaming pitchers. I don't like streaming anybody. I think, though, I don't want to be locked in to a player that gets injured or is just not playing or whatever it is just because it's the middle of the week, because it's a Wednesday. I don't like that at all either. So I'm okay with daily roster moves. I'm not a big proponent of it. It's not like a big topic. You notice in my ways to fix fantasy baseball, it's not even – doesn't even register on the spectrum, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But if 2/3 of people say they want that, I'll figure out a way to incorporate that if I was setting up a league. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I think the point you made, I want to give you credit for your point, is that when we had the argument, is that if you had daily lineup changes, it would alleviate the need for the roster move. I do think that, because then you could build your bench in a much better way. And by the way, if you also had slimmer rosters and there's a bigger player pool, you'd have better players at multiple positions on your bench instead of having to go to freaking beyond Marwin Gonzalez, like somebody worse. If you have to go beyond that, it just gets
Here's the thing, and I've told the story on Twitter a couple times since that debate we had. The last time I did a league with daily fab or daily waiver wire runs, I had a guy in my league, and I'm not exaggerating this to tell a story. This is a true story. I had a guy make 412 moves. He didn't even win the league, so great job, guy. He made 412 moves, and I vowed at that point, I never want to be a part of this again. Like, yeah. Well, I don't understand. Why am I in a league where the guy is rolling over 3 players every single day the entire season? I don't – that's just dumb.
Yeah, and they do it – it's for pitchers. It's for strikeouts and wins. I mean, right, I agree. If we were to do daily roster moves, like I said, I'm open-minded to it. I will not have free first come, first serve, any of that stuff. That's why I would run fab or a waiver scenario, and I would limit the amount of moves. You could do 2 moves a week. You could do 3 moves a week, 4 max. There's no need to do more than – even if you have one emergency move in case of, you know, glass, in case of emergency break glass, something like that is better than having to be –
can't just be a free-for-all. Yeah, it can't just be.
And it can't be a free-for-all. I agree with that. So.
And I would say this, though, too. And the argument that I was making as well that you just referenced, just to, you know, expound upon it a little bit. When you draft a team, you have to draft a team Okay, you need a backup at first base. You need a backup at third base, shortstop, second base, outfielder, starting pitcher, relief pitcher. If you don't construct your bench properly because you're one of these people that drafts off an ADP sheet, and at the end you've got five first basemen on your team and no backup middle infielders, tough titty. Too bad. That's how you put your team together. Okay? You should reward people for saying, you know what? I'm going to add as Jubal Cabrera. I'm going to add any of these guys, Max Muncy, or any of these guys, Jay Bruce, the guy that Jeff hates. Add any of these guys that have multi-position eligibility, guys that can move around. That's why you have a bench. You don't have a bench to pile up 14 guys at one position. Some people, their bench, it's all pitchers. Fine if you want to do that. One of your hitters goes down, tough. Right. So you should construct your bench in a way that allows you the ability, if you have an injury on Tuesday, and we're running FAB on Sunday, so you have to wait 5 days, your bench should have a support piece that you can put into the lineup. If you choose not to build your bench that way, that's fine. You have freedom to do that. But you shouldn't change rules and start running FAB every single day because you're not willing to build a roster properly. Major League Baseball team doesn't have 18 pitchers on it. You know, they have to balance the roster. And I think we should try to do the same thing in fantasy.
Lately, they have...
Well, 13, they're getting closer.
14. They got to expand rosters likely pretty soon with all the bullpens. But I digress. So the daily lineup changes would alleviate that. The problem I have, and the reason I gravitate to people that want daily everything, is I just need more freedom. I will fully admit I've been in these leagues, and Ray, you know, in my frustration, labor, Tout Wars, FSTA, all this stuff, every industry league that I do, even NFBC, and I love the NFBC, and they have the late round. You could do something over Friday. Mm-hmm. You could do roster moves. Thank God. They've adapted themselves, which is why I play more NFBC than industry leagues these days. I just can't stomach being locked in every day. And I cannot, and I've heard, I'm not alone. I don't know if it's 60% or 30%, 40%. Way too many people are like me and simply can't sit down on a Sunday and do your waiver moves. Sunday, people want to relax. They're off of work. They don't want to do that work. Football gets a ton of ratings and people watching and everything on Sundays, but they're watching, they're relaxing, they're cheering and all that. People will watch baseball. They'll watch their final bit. They don't want to be doing bookkeeping. They'll set a lineup. Most of those lineups are set Saturday. It's a different thing. You don't want to sit in Sunday. I can't do it. I know this and why I dropped out a lot of industry leagues this year. I can't do it anymore. I can't spend that entire day. I have three kids all growing up before my eyes. No, I just can't do one day a week waivers where I'm spending hours and hours doing it, and doing multiple leagues is impossible for a guy like me. And I think it's like that for a lot of other people. If I was able to do it every day and I said, oh, damn, Yelich just went down. I got to go and pick up Keon Broxton or somebody. I know different teams now, but you just get what I'm saying. Okay, I could do that. You know, I could do it on a Wednesday when it happens and bing, boom, bang, I'm done, move a guy in. I can do it on my cell phone while I'm watching TV. I don't have to, oh, God, I got to go upstairs, log into the computer, go through the waiver wire, write down who's available, And I think industry leagues, I'm going to say this, I don't say it on serious, I think they've become a joke. I think they are an absolute joke. Why do the same people win industry fantasy baseball leagues? It's the people that do the most moves. That's all it is. You look at these teams that they drafted and they're trash, but out of a 12-team industry league, eight of those 12 teams simply aren't doing moves. And that's and that's our fault, but I think that just harkens back to why people are fading away. Well, it's the same people. They do roster moves and roster moves and roster moves and roster moves.
I think part of this discussion, it's great whether we're talking about, you know, the hometown league or these expert leagues. You have to really decide, as a consumer of the product, as a participant, how do you want your league to operate? My problem with the daily roster stuff is that the person that's sitting there and grinding it out and grinding it out and grinding it out and grinding it out wins. Okay? If you do it one day a week, everyone has time. Everyone can look at it. I understand what you're saying. I don't have time to sit down for 3 hours on a Sunday. Do an hour on Friday, do an hour on Saturday, do an hour on Sunday, whatever it is.
Let me step into that, though.
Okay.
Because it's a good point you're making, but here's the problem. You can't – if it was like football, right? Mm-hmm. Football's played as late as Monday. And then everything you know, like you know the injuries and, of course, everything comes up. But there's no more games. There's nobody guys getting hurt. You can't do waivers on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in baseball. You can't because you don't there's so every day there's a game, and these players are out there playing, and people are getting hurt or not hurt, rested or not rested, slumping or not slumping. It's every day everything changes. So you literally have to do it on a Sunday. You can't. Every time I've tried to do, I'm going to pick up these guys on a Friday.
Right.
By Sunday, it's like, oh boy, I don't want that guy anymore. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It changes too quickly. Whereas football, everybody's done at Monday. So you could sit and debate your waivers all week and then do it that one week because there's no more games that are impacting the guys you're picking up or not.
We should, I mean, to go back to the broader point, we should have the option to do both. Because the league should be set up in a way that works for people. I personally, and this is not, again, this is my life. 13 hours a day, Monday through Friday, I'm sitting at my damn computer. Mm-hmm. Okay. Usually I work, 3 or 4 hours on Saturday. During football season, I'm working 15 hours on Sunday. Okay. I don't want to spend an extra half hour extra 15 minutes every night doing this. I sit at my computer 13 hours a day. I don't want it to be 13 and a half. I want when my work day is over for my work day to be over. I don't want to be, laying in bed talking to my lady and having to pull my phone out to me. I don't want to do that. Now, for someone like you, maybe it works better because you have much kids better. And you have a different, life than I do. Yeah. You have different hours than I do too. You frequently work later in the night whereas I work earlier in the morning. So league should be set up for a way that works for people. I'm just saying with my schedule and how my workload plays out, I'd rather spend 3 hours on a Sunday then spend an extra 15 or 20 minutes every day throughout the week. But again, that's just my preference, Jeff. That doesn't mean that's the way it's got to be. Right. I just think that that's a better way to do it, but your experience is different than mine.
The right way to do it is neither my way or your way, probably. We have to figure out a hybrid way that works for most people. There's always extremes and, sitting at our desk. Phone, not being by our phone. We have to figure out a way that does work for everybody.
A good point that you brought up. Let's say we're going to do it every day. Okay. But you can only make 2 or 3 moves a week. I like that idea because I don't want it every day where someone's, making 4 moves every day and they're picking up every damn pitcher. Right. And then we got to start worrying about, do we need to institute innings pitch limits? What happens when we have an inning pitch limit and there's only 4 innings left, but you're starting 4 guys on the last day? How does our system handle that? Do you get all 27 innings all the guys throw? Do you only get the first guy that starts? That's always a problem. I like the idea of, okay, if you're going to do this, if we're going to go daily because it just makes sense and people want to do it, you limit it to 2 or 3 pickups a week. Because when you're sitting there on a Sunday, how often are you adding 4 or 5 guys on a Sunday in a league? You don't ever do that. The only time you do that is when you're desperate. It's June 30th and you're like, hell, I got to, do that. So if you can limit it to 2 or 3, if I miss Monday because I got a family thing or I'm out at dinner or whatever, that's okay. I miss those guys, but then it's not like, well, if I got something going on Thursday, now I'm screwed again because that guy that was out there on Monday is sitting on his phone 24 hours a day. So I like the idea of limiting the number of pickups that you threw out there, Jeff.
Even if it was one, just to have that outlet – would be a huge thing in my opinion. I don't like the idea of people streaming and doing all that stuff either and manipulating the system. What I want in everything, and this is why I go back to the salary cap stuff and Major League Baseball and all, I want fair competition. That's all I want. I want a system that actually appeals to everybody, that your lifestyle doesn't automatically discredit you or block you from being competitive. If I have the information, that's why daily is so, I love daily fantasy baseball. Why I've been incredibly successful at it is because I'm able every day I can make my decision based on this vast amount of knowledge I have in my brain or at my fingertips via FanGraphs or Ray Flowers. I can just go and say, hey, what do you think about it? And make money doing it. That, and then seasonal, I have felt for a decade like I simply can't compete because I have so much information thing I can do is be at my desk on Sunday afternoon. And the fact that I work 18 Sundays, every single or 21 Sundays in a row during the football season, I simply am never going to be able to do it.
I pointed this out too at some point. I think I like the idea of then increasing roster size. Like, we can combat this issue by increasing roster size. Instead of having 3 bench spots or 5 bench spots, give people 8 bench spots. Give people 10 bench spots.
Right.
So therefore, we have a large enough bench that we can get rid of this, hey, I have to worry about on a Tuesday because I lost the guy. Let's increase the bench size. It gives you the option to have you know, those spare players that you're really never going to use, but you've got them. It gives you the opportunity to be forward thinking and say, look, I'm going to grab this middle reliever because I'm worried about this closer. I think he could get some saves next week. I'm worried about the performance of this second baseman. He's not hitting right-handed pitching. It allows you to have enough space on your roster without increasing the starting lineup.
Well,
have enough space on your roster to add those players to give you that benefit too, Jeff.
What about that? I mean, this is a good conversation because here's what it should be. Why don't we have 25-man rosters?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or even, you know, yeah, 25-man rosters, but 9 starting lineup. You get 9 starters. You know what I mean? And maybe 3 pitchers or something like that. Right. Like, make it very – because that way it really comes down to how well you're analyzing the upcoming matchups. How well are you deciding, okay, I'm going to start this guy or that guy. And then it really – that's the thing that everybody loves about fantasy football. It's like, dude, did you start Jared Cook this week? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. You know, that's great. It's an exciting thing. Fantasy baseball is like your whole team's essentially started. You got 3 or 4 randos that aren't starting. There's not much to the roster management or the starting system element of it. Make it so that that's a decision and that people challenge people, push people to their limits, make them force them into making some lineup decisions. I mean, listen, major league managers have this at their discretion every single day, and we see it all the time. One of the things the Oakland A's do well throughout the last decade or so, they have a lefty lineup and a righty lineup. And who are they facing? Now, they're getting stuck lately, and good managers like Joe Maddon will go against a team like that and say, all right, I'll bring a lefty out of the bullpen. You'll switch over your lineup, then I'm going to bring the righty that dominates righties back, and you're screwed. That's the smart way to manage, but a lot of managers don't do that. And that's that game inside of a game element that – why I love the simulation games like Stratomatic and all that. I can control my destiny. When I can't, when it's just a draft and the lineup that I set on Sunday controls my destiny for the next 7 days, that doesn't challenge me enough. I'm like a kid in the third grade classroom that's just bored. I already know I can do algebra, and you're sitting here making me learn plus and minus? Get out of here. I'm not interested.
Yeah, well, and again, the decision has to just be made by – the people in your league. Like, how do you want to run your setup? Like, how involved do you want to be? Because I think from what I've heard from some folks is they're a little reluctant to go into the DFS game because they feel like they don't have 4, 5, 6 hours a day to look into it. They don't have a subscription to Guru Elite for the DFS work. So
what?
I know it's a smart thing to do, but some people don't have it.
What's wrong with those people?
And so what you're suggesting might even be too daunting for some people. Like they don't want to lose the competitiveness because someone in their league does have a subscription to Guru Elite and is spending 5 hours doing it. Now, again, I think you should be allowed to take full advantage of your baseball knowledge. And if you're willing to spend 9 hours, I had a guy tell me once, he spends 45 hours a week doing a job, 40 hours doing fantasy sports. I'm like, well, you're crazy, but okay.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, you should be rewarded for it. So I don't want to make it sound like, hey, you know, I don't want to have effort rewarded. I don't want people to bully people into it. And I don't want you to beat someone over the head because you can spend, you know, 12 hours more than someone else and gain that advantage. Though, you're right, Jeff. And just like in the real world, whether it's your job or whether it's baseball, the teams, the people, the places, the organizations that do that are the successful ones.
Indeed, and that we'll end the conversation there, but we want your feedback at Baseball Guys on Twitter, at Jeff_Manns, at Fantasy Guru site as well, if you want to tweet into the company one, which we both monitor very avidly every single day. But what changes do you think we need to make? You like our suggestions? Do you not like our suggestions? We want to hear from you. Last episode of Fantasy Baseball Elite, Ray, we talked about players to target. We mentioned guys like Chris Bryant, Carlos Correa, some players that are sort of on, you know, I hate to say value players because some of them are second or third round players, but players that we want to target. And it's an article that you have in the draft guide, a lengthy one at that. You also have a complimentary article about players to avoid. And I want to talk about that today here also, since we did the ones to target, some players to stay away from. Now, I believe this guy made the article. And we'll start with Javier Baez of the Cubs. Did he make the article? I'm trying to remember.
Gosh, I've written so much. Let me look it up as we're talking here, Jeff.
Yeah, because, I mean, multiple position eligibility. He had an amazing year. Like, Javier Baez, literally MVP candidate, the whole thing.
He didn't make the list, Jeff, but I can see where you're going on this, but go ahead.
Yeah, didn't make the article. He was second in the MVP voting. Man, I thought he finished like fifth. I mean, he had a year of years, 34, 111, 101 runs scored, stole 20 bases as well. But a lot of people, including myself, I don't buy it. Doesn't pass the sniff test for me. I like the multiple position eligibility and all that from Javier Baez here, Ray, but this is not a guy that I'm targeting at his current ADP, and his current ADP is 13th overall in the NFBC.
Yeah, and by the way, that's Dexter, if you heard him. I don't know if you could hear him on air or not.
I heard it.
At the Dexter Kitty on Twitter if you want a good follow. And I don't handle that account. Some people think I do. I don't.
That's some good pussy.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. So classy. Yeah, the article, by the way, if for those of you that are involved in the draft guide, the one he's talking about is who should you avoid? And as I pointed out in the article, and as I need to preface what we're saying here, I'm not saying that the guys listening to that article will suck. I am not saying.
No, that's what you're saying. Here's how he wrote the article. He looked at my FSTA team. He goes, okay, this guy, every pick man's made is going to be terrible. That's essentially what he did.
And who should you target? Wow, look at they're all my team.
That's amazing.
Yeah, wow. Crazy how that works out? Look at that. The point is that these guys are, in essence, overvalued. I'm not suggesting they're going to fail. I don't think Jeff is suggesting that Javier Baez is going to hit 250 with 12 home runs. We're not saying they're going to fail. We're saying that the cost is prohibitive, basically. And when you talk about Javier Baez, he has great flexibility, which, you know, we're talking about building rosters and all that. Three positions he qualifies at, that's huge. The problem with Baez is after the season he had last year, you are now forced to pay 100% to get his services. And the likelihood is that his home runs will regress a little bit, his steals will regress a little bit, and his batting average will regress a little bit. That's just the odds, okay? And probably the counting categories and runs and RBIs too. He could still have an excellent season, still be a tremendous fantasy asset because of that flexibility, but not match the numbers he had last season because his approach is bad. He doesn't walk. He strikes out too much. He goes into ruts.
Contact.
Got a huge swing.
Issue.
Yeah, he just does. And, you know, he could have an MVP-like season for 5 months and hit 185 for 1 month. That's just how it is. So the cost is the issue. I still expect him to be productive, but again, I don't expect him to match what he did last season.
No. He had a 131 weighted runs created. He had a career before that was 95. Like, I mean, that drastic. Even the most subtle of projections for him has his slugging percentage, his batting average coming down 20 points, his on base coming down 12 points, his slugging going down 50 points, his weighted runs created going down 20 points. Even the most aggressive of projections would suggest that. And basically, in my opinion, with Javier Baez is how much are you willing to put a premium on multiple eligibility? And is he eligible? It's two or three positions in your league. To me, that's it. I love that aspect of his game, but I'm not willing to throw that into the first round, which is essentially where you have to land Baez, unless you have maybe technically either first or second pick of the second round on the 12-team reversal, and then fine. But you're going to have to draft him in the first 15 picks. And is it worth it for that flexibility, depending, you know, if he's only third base eligible, if your league is below 20, because if it's 20-plus games, he's not eligible at third base, you know, that then it's just second and shortstop, which are both middle infield spots. You don't get the corner infield. So I don't know, man. To me, he's a guy to avoid his current spot. Like Ray said, not going to be horrible. He's going to have a monster month, and he's going to have a terrible month. Too much of a free swinger. Why people would pitch to him and not give him off speed away all the time, which he likes to wave at, I don't understand. I think pitchers will be cognizant of that in 2019. So I'm avoiding him. Let's talk about one of your favorites, though, Ray Flowers. Yeah. Guy who I believe made the article, and that's Giancarlo Stanton. You love yourself being anti-Giancarlo Stanton. Last year, you were 100% right. I drafted him in the first round of the FSTA last year because I wanted to go Stanton and Judge. I did that. actually wasn't, didn't my MCT team was not that bad. If I would have managed it better in August and September, I could have maybe finished in the top five instead of, I think I finished sixth or seventh. But why should we stay away from Stanton?
Yeah, because the problem, again, it's very similar to Javier Baez. The problem for Stanton is that he had that career season in 2017, and now people will judge him with that. I think it's the same problem Bryce Harper we talked about last week. You know, he had that 2015 season, and everyone judges him against that. Giancarlo Stanton is never going to match his 2017, which is fine, okay, because that's a historically good season. You have to understand, he lost 21 home runs last year. 21! Okay, he lost the full player of home runs. His OPS went down 155 points. The fact is that Giancarlo Stanton is a better version of Joey Gallo. I mean, he's that, and people here say, oh, but that's really what he is. This guy's hit under 267 in 3 of 4 years. His on-base percentage in 3 of 4 years is under 345. His strikeout rate in 3 of 4 years is basically 30%, which is hideous. He's just good. He's not great. He had a great season. There is a difference. So I just need people to understand that he also benefited from the DH. And the last couple of years he's done that because he's been hurt and able to stay in the lineup because he's
had. Well, I was going to call you on that one. Because he did one thing he did. He's back-to-back years. One thing you always complained about Giancarlo Stanton is he never played 150 games. Played 159, 158 last 2 years.
Right.
He actually has stayed healthy. But which probably makes his numbers and
more disappointing.
Nothing wrong with 38 and 100, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, and I don't think Ray would argue that. But it's pretty alarming that he goes from 59 to 38 and played one less game.
Yeah, and as you noted, I'm sure if you look at the article, Who Should You Avoid, I don't mention the games played with Stanton, okay? Because you know, you can fall back on that, and it's still, in my mind, a legit piece of the puzzle, but I chose to just focus on the production. And, you know, there's not much different. I said Joe Gallo. I probably should have said Chris Davis with a K. Chris Davis does the exact same thing every year. Boom, 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 boom. Okay. Does Stanton have the ability to be better than Chris Davis? Yes, we have seen it. But Stanton doesn't do boom, boom, boom. He doesn't do it the same way. So if you've got to spend a second-round pick on Stanton and I could spend a third-round pick on Chris Davis, give me Chris Davis.
Fourth, you know, so you
have to decide. A lot of this is, again, about the cost on draft day. Stanton is perfectly strong at being a power hitter and one of the best in baseball, but the guy still has holes in his game that a lot of people choose to ignore.
You're going to hear me argue with Ray a lot on a couple of topics. And one of those topics in 2019 is going to be games played and stuff, just because I don't believe there are any players anymore that just play all the time. I don't believe it exists. I go through Major League Baseball and you did a study, 700 players on the DL. It's just insane how many times people are sitting out. So the fact that I don't think anybody really knows anymore who will be in the lineup every day and play 150 games and who won't. I just think it's a complete crapshoot. So I'm going to call you on that all the time. But I think you're right on Stanton. You were definitely right last year for sure. Nothing wrong with it, but I love the comparison. Chris Davison, late fourth. He's going 46th in the NFBC right now. Or Stanton in the second round. Yeah, Chris Davis is the better play right there. Another player. Let's talk about another guy. And this – I always get enamored with the fact that analytics, real people like us that do this for a living, think that Juan Soto is going to be the next, I guess, Bryce Harper. He had 22 home runs last year and 400 at-bats, but, you know, 406 on base percentage. He set all kinds of records. He was 19 years old last year. He's 20 years old as he begins 2019. But Ray Flowers, the optimism surrounding Juan Soto is absolutely legendary right now.
Yeah, and it's driven by a spectacular 19-year-old season. And again, this is not to down him. For those people that don't remember, in Tout Wars last year, a 15-team mixed league, I spent like, was it $611 out of my $1,000 to add Soto when he came up. So I was all in. I said from day one, get this guy. I, of course, didn't expect a 923 OPS. I didn't expect a nearly one-to-one walk-to-strikeout ratio. I expected a good season. He was phenomenal. So this is not taking away from that. The point that I brought up in the article and the point that needs to be discussed here is what you're saying is true. People are projecting what he did last year and expecting improvement. If he goes out this year and hits 280 with a 380 on-base percentage and an 850 OPS, people are going to be disappointed. And that's stupid. That's just dumb. We just talked about Stan, 855 OPS. People are expecting too much from Soto. They're expecting him to run, and running is not really part of his game. So when you remove that aspect of a fantasy value, that just off the surface says that this guy's got to hit 300 with 30 home runs to live up to his draft day cost. Can he hit 300? He's got a great approach. His contact rate is excellent. He does not strike out a lot. He uses the whole field. Lots of positives there. Can he hit 30 home runs? I have a big question about that, and everyone should. He had a 25% home run to fly ball ratio, which is a Hall of Fame type number. It's a huge number. It's not massive. It's not off the charts, but it's a big number. There's 10 to 15 guys in baseball that repeat a number that size. Is it fair to say he should do that? Well, maybe you think so, but I got news for you. He's 20 years old. Let's see how it plays out. And secondly, and more concerning to me, is the fact that he has a 54% ground ball rate. Okay? He's in the Ian Desmond area almost of ground balls. And what that means is if you hit 50-plus percent of your balls into the ground and everything goes right for you, you basically are a 25 home run guy. Okay? You could hit 30, but you're basically a 25 home run guy. The way he's being drafted, Jeff, again, people are expecting him to hit 300 and hit 30 home runs. And if not, they're going to be disappointed with what they get. And I don't think he's a good bet to hit either one of those numbers this year.
No, he had a career year. And here's the thing. Maybe I have a gift. I doubt it. But maybe I'm good at seeing patterns. Because I don't know how many times we could fall on the same thing. Ray, I don't know. Can you – I'll give you a trivia question, Ray.
Okay. Yep.
Name me another Washington Nationals player that came up, had about 300 to 400 at bats and a half a season, and everybody expected first round value of the next year. Can you tell me a player that's similar to that?
Were you gonna say Bryce Harper?
No. Well, oh yeah, that's another one. One out of the two you got. How about another one?
Ryan Zimmerman. I don't know who you're going.
No. I'll give you one more chance. Can you get it?
Washington Nationals.
Washington Nationals came up for half a season.
Right.
Everybody thought he was going to change the way baseball was played.
I'm going to be very disappointed when I hear the answer, Jeff.
You don't know.
I'm going to, as soon as you say it, I'm going to hate myself.
Trey Turner.
Yeah.
Remember 340, yeah. 13 and 30. Like, oh, this guy, oh my God. He gets 600 at bats. He's going 30-30. He's going 30-50. No. No, just straight up no. No, and his average was number 3-4. No, it never happened. It's the same thing for my argument for Jesus Aguilar this year. Same thing. It's like, no, I've seen Domingo Santana, Keon Broxton, Eric Thames. I've seen this. I've seen guys. The Cardinals have the same thing. Certain guys just jump up, have amazing years for teams, and never, ever come back again. And I don't know why people keep thinking these players are going to do it year after year. Juan Soto – would he, like you said, Hall of Fame numbers, Hall of Fame OPS, Hall of Fame half a season. If he was this good, right, why every single publication, Baseball America had him as the 56th prospect going into last year.
Well, they all had Victor Robles ahead of him and another outfielder.
Victor Robles way ahead of him. 29th in Major League Baseball. Baseball Prospectus had him 57th. He wasn't even top 30, well, 30 in Major League Baseball from Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com. He's the only one that had him even in the top 30 of prospects going into last year, yet he comes up and is Mickey Mantle. So are all the talent evaluators just that possibly wrong? Well, maybe. But Trout, Harper, these guys were number one prospects. They were number one, top five guys. Machado, number one prospect. All of them. They weren't in the 50s and 60s and came and had this magical – Mookie Betts, top prospect, didn't have magical runs like this. It is so unbelievable that you guys aren't seeing the obvious regression that will happen to Juan Soto. It's absolutely breathtaking to me that people are.
Well, yeah, and again, you have to just look at the – I say the word again a lot. I got to get
third-round pick, by the way.
And that's the overall. Yeah, that's the issue. And I've had a question the other day. It's like, do I take Juan Soto or Charlie Blackman? And I'm like, whoa. Holy like
cow.
You know, really? you let me know when Soto goes, 29, 90, 110, 15, like Blackman's done the last 3 years. It's like, come on. Like, you have to be smart about this. And Soto, again, could be very good. And I'm not saying he's not worth top 25 outfield play. I'm not saying he's not worth spending $20 on in an arc. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the best case scenario for him, let's throw another name. The best case scenario for him is not better than Justin Upton. The best case scenario for him is not better than Will Myers because Will Myers can steal. The best case scenario for him is, you know, not better than what Cody Bellinger did a couple of years ago. Like, you just have to put it in the context. And I agree with you. I've seen him in some of these, you know, listings and rankings and drafts going so early. We've come into a point, I think, Jeff, where we're now expecting young elite players to be great at the start. And when they are, we project them to be in the Hall of Fame. And that's kind of where we're at with Soto. If he goes 280, 25, 90, people are going to be disappointed. Right. And that's a hell of a season, Jeff.
Yeah, it's a great season, and people will be disappointed. And under no circumstances should you take Juan Soto over Charlie Blackman. No circumstances. I will – every time you do that, a puppy dies. How about that? Like, that is how ridiculous of a very premise that – is. I do not like that at all. Other players in the who to avoid list. I'm not sure if this is in the article, and I didn't want to just copy your article, but some players that I know we've talked about in the past. Max Muncy, I talked about on SiriusXM the other day. Did he make the article?
He did.
He did. Look at that. I'm not bad. I'm 3 for 4 right here.
Yeah, thanks for reading the article, Jeff.
By the way, I have read the article, so obviously some names stuck, but I didn't like go and look at the article and compare the notes. I wanted to bring up players that are being drafted ahead of.
And by the way, Max Muncy is also in the Battle of the Experts with myself and Vlad Sedler. So something you referenced earlier in the podcast today, we had a back and forth. In those Battle of the Experts, basically Vlad and I both give like 350 words. So they're quick. They're full of data, but they're quick. It's not like something that takes you 25 minutes to read. They're meant to kind of just, you know, while you're on your lunch break, give it a view, give it a read, get a couple of different opinions on a guy.
I got to say this. Okay. And please cover your ears, Ray Flowers.
Okay, I'll mute.
Guys, I want you to do a favor. I love Ray Flowers. I love Vlad Sedler. But when it comes to Giants for Ray and Dodgers for Vlad, let's just do one of those hear no evil, see no evil things. Let's just kind of like, okay, I want a filter to be used on these guys. Just saying that in my experience, when it comes to Dodger evaluation, Vlad's pretty hype. Giant evaluation, Ray loves his Brandon Belts and guys like that all the time.
Jeff, I didn't draft Buster Posey in the FSTA draft.
I did, though.
I know.
I like Posey.
I drafted one Giant in the 29th round.
Who was it?
I took Mark Melanson on the shot that he gets ninth inning work because I didn't have any save guys. And I explained it in the article. That's a free
article.
Don't,
wait, you didn't draft Belt?
No.
What?
I drafted Eric Hosmer. No. And it's a free article. Anyone listening to this can go read it. 2019 FSTA MLB draft. Go to MLB. Click on the general tab. It'll pop up. I took Melanson in the last round hoping he gets some save opportunities because I didn't have closers per se. I just had power relievers. But that's the only Giant I took. I know what you're saying, Jeff, but
I'm not to avoid your advice. I'm saying use a filter.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Max Muncy, though, come on, man. Like, I am sorry. I don't know what else to say. He's 29 years old. He's a pudge ball, not a great athlete. It's like, I don't know how much one of the fluke seasons of all time. Last year, 35 home runs. I mean, come on, man. There's just, I mean, you talk about a player that I have legitimately no interest. I would take a shot at Max Muncy if he was being taken in the 12th round.
Right.
No, I would. I'd be like, okay, you know, I'll take a shot. I mean, this is a guy who likely, I'm not even going to say maybe or probably, he's not going to be a starter. He's not going to be the everyday first baseman for the Dodgers. Come on.
Yeah, and you know
they signed AJ Pollock. You got Peterson to fit in, Chris Taylor that's moving around. I mean, they've got a lot of players here in LA that I do not see him playing every day after a certain point. He's a lineup liability in my opinion.
28-year-olds don't bust out frequently. Let's just be honest, and not from solid to really good or really good to great.
They don't go from 3 home runs to 35.
From nowhere.
At age 28.
Yeah, and let's also not, and this is something that I brought up, and I've brought up multiple times with Muncy. If Muncy's season last year was out of an established player, I'd feel better in analyzing it. As it is, like you're saying, I look at this and I'm like, how can I – he changes launch angle. If it's that easy, everyone would do it. It's not that easy
heard
to
this
do.
This before.
Yeah. I mean, Chris this guy was released on March 31st of 2017 by the Athletics. Mm-hmm. It took him 29 days to get a minor league contract.
Yes.
He couldn't even find an organization to give him a minor league contract for a month. Yet, a year later, he's hitting 35 home runs in the big leagues. Sometimes things happen and it's weird and it doesn't make any sense and, you know, guys figure things out late in life and all that. But the odds are strongly suggestive that what we saw last season isn't repeatable on the field. And, Jeff, your point about playing time has to be taken into account,
come
too.
Come on. I mean, good Lord. And even in the platoon situation, they have David Freese on this team that could play either corner and smashes left-handed pitching. You know what I mean? So it just makes a lot of sense that Muncy, the left-handed bat, would platoon against righties if he even holds that job. It's so impossible. This is one that if you don't see this coming, you're in a lot of trouble in fantasy baseball. You're just in a lot of trouble. All of our goals going into 2019 season should be to get the next Max Muncy, whoever that is, and we'll have to add him on waivers or deep in a draft. It shouldn't be to try to piggyback off a guy who came out of nowhere. By the way, I'm looking at his numbers right now. Mm-hmm. And he came up in 2012, he was drafted in the league. He hit four home runs in the Midwest League and, you know, 300 at-bats or whatever. He had 25 homers, 100 RBIs, split between Double-A Tennessee League and the California League in 2013. Now, the California League ball absolutely jumps out there in Stockton, hit 21 home runs of those 25 there, right? Okay, fine. He went to Midland. He went to Oakland. He never had double-digit home runs ever again until he hit 12 in 400 at-bats in Oklahoma City in the Pacific Coast League, where the ball absolutely flies out of Oklahoma City. You'll see guys like, wasn't it Willie Calhoun? I forget who played in Oklahoma City. They had like 30 home runs. The ball, it's a launching pad. He hit 12 home runs in 350 at-bats. Come on, man. 35? I mean, you guys got to be out of your mind thinking that that's going to replicate itself. There's nothing invested in Max Muncy here. This is one of the most no-brainer fades of all times. And that's just how it is. I can't understand how anybody – I don't get it. And I know Vlad loves or doesn't love him, but Vlad does think he will sustain it. Vlad's very smart. And one of the best players, better player than I am at fantasy baseball, quite frankly. But I don't think there's a case for Max Muncy. Any other players here, Ray, in the article or out that you want to cover?
I
stay away from Eloy Jimenez. I see him in the article.
Right.
Why are you staying away from him? I drafted him. Is that the only reason?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's the cost. It's the cost. I used to write articles all the time. We need to, you know, get a little further into the draft season. I'd write articles all the time where I would talk about, you know, where is a player being drafted and who, look at this other guy, right? And the poster boy for that was oftentimes, funny enough, Jeff J. Bruce. Because it's like Jay Bruce always had an ADP 100 spots after the Max Muncy's of the world, and at the end they had the same numbers. If you look at Eloy Jimenez, I mean, let me just ask you straight up. Would you draft Will Myers or Eloy Jimenez?
Ooh, I love Will
Myers. I know those are your guys.
Will Myers. I mean, at the current cost.
They're one spot apart in the NFBC ADP.
Oh, that's it? I thought Myers was below.
Myers is one spot below him. Yeah.
Here's the thing that's interesting. I would draft Myers just in a vacuum like that. But I'll speak to – I don't know. I think Myers was off the board when I chose Eloy in the FSTA League. And one thing with the FSTA League, like you and I fought about Polka. And by the way, I called Vlad out. I called Ray out for Giants and whatever. And meanwhile, I'm talking about two White Sox players here. So
good call.
I guess you guys could you know who to fade for me. But I needed power. And I do think Myers is a power hitter. But he's not in the best power environment necessarily at San Diego. It's not nearly as bad as it used to be. He can still hit 30-plus bombs. He's had health issues, you know, three out of the last 4 years. But I think Eloy gave me more of a power boost. I think my best path to power was Eloy.
That's fine. But you have to, you know, you also have to pull back and understand. You just have to understand the context of these guys. I am not saying I wouldn't take Eloy Jimenez. I think he's ranked, what? I think I ranked him second or third amongst all rookies in the rookie write-up in the draft guide. So I'm all in. I mean, this is not, again, a condemnation of him. I'm just saying that if I could take Will Myers after him in a draft, sign me up. You know, is he a better option this season than David Peralta 25 picks later? Is he better than Andrew McCutchen 40 picks later? Is he any different than Nomar Mazzara 45 picks later? Is he going to come up and hit 275 with 30 home runs? Because if he's not, that's already who Nomar Mazzara basically is. 255, 25, there you go. You know what I mean? So right. You just have to judge it based upon the context of the players around. And again, that's the main purpose of the article. It's not that Jimenez sucks. I think he's got a luminous future. I just think that you have to warn people when the cost gets a little prohibitive, Jeff.
I'm looking at your rankings, your outfield rankings right now, fantasycrew.com, and holy cow, you have a pretty massive difference. I don't even see. Eloy is so far down. Holy cow.
No, he's not.
You have a 30 spaces between them in outfield right now.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I'm just saying. That's
we don't – Eloy Jimenez –
Saying,
we don't know when he's going to be up. Mm-hmm. We have no.
You have Eddie Rosario 10 spots ahead of.
Well, yeah, because Eddie Rosario is going to get 155 games. A best case scenario for Eloy Jimenez.
Nobody gets 155 games.
140 games. Let's go with the number you threw out earlier. A best case scenario for Eloy Jimenez is probably 125. Best case. Because there is a possibility if the White Sox don't bring in Machado, if things don't go well for them the next couple of weeks on the free agent market.
Of course they won't.
There's a chance that Eloy could be in the minors till June. Totally could happen.
No, you are right, and they are a notoriously cheap organization.
So that's got to be baked in. If we knew he's starting on day one, he'd be 18 spots higher in the rankings.
I really don't like Eddie Rosario, and I know you do. It's like one of those.
I don't like him that much either, Jeff.
But he's so consistent. I see what you liked about him. His numbers are so consistent last 2 years, 27, 24, 78, 77. 79, 87 runs, his average 290, 288. I'm like, my God, this is a Ray Flowers dream. 9 steals and 8 steals. Like, you put 2 seasons of exact same numbers up, Ray Flowers is going to draft you. I'll tell you guys right now.
The interesting thing is, in another article that we have in the draft guide, and hopefully people will either get the $34.99 package or the VIP for $50.
Yeah.
Either one gets you access to all of this information, so you can choose based upon whether you want to be involved in chat rooms and be able to interact with us more directly or not. I wrote an article, well, 2 articles. One was called The Home Run last week, and another one was Home Run Danger. And Eddie Rosario shows up in those articles, and I lay out some concerns with Eddie Rosario in the home run. But again, when you're playing every day, you have a solid spot in the lineup, you're going to hit in the middle of the lineup, and you show consistency. That has to be balanced out against what some of the advanced metrics say.
Fair enough. Remember where to get those articles, fantasyguru.com, the 2019 baseball draft guide, and full season. It's one price for the whole season, everybody. Get the VIP subscription. That way you could talk and chat with myself and Ray and Vlad, maybe even Ted. I don't know if anybody wants that, but if you, for some reason, are a Ted fan, he'll be in the chat rooms as well, live streams. Tons and tons of podcasts all season long over there behind the paywall at fantasyguru.com. Early bird pricing available right now. That is it. I am off to beautiful Hawaii, Ray Flowers. Are you jelly?
Very much so. One of my favorite places on earth, Jeff. I hope that you decide to come back and don't stay.
I may indeed never come back. So if this is my last podcast. Folks, it's been a slice of something. Evan, maybe crap. Who knows? For Ray Flowers, this is Jeff Vance. Till next time, everybody. Fantasy Baseball Elite. See ya. Deuces.